This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We have a very interesting interview for you today. You've, of course, heard the name Cousin Eddie, and I'm not talking about Christmas Vacation. We're talking about, of course, Cousin Eddie in the twisted tale of Alec Murtaugh, Curtis Eddie Smith. Today, we are talking with Curtis Eddie Smith's attorney, Amy Zimmerche, and we're going to dive into this case. We're going to learn about the relationship, how it started between Curtis Eddie Smith. We're going to talk about the interactions that they've had over the years, how that relationship developed, how the drug connection exists, and much more. So be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our series of upcoming conversations here with attorney Amy Zimmerche, the attorney for Curtis Eddie Smith. Amy, thank you for joining us. Let's just jump right into this. Take me to how this relationship between Eddie and Alec began.
Well, so he really knew. I mean, it goes back quite some years, to be quite honest, to the late 80s. Eddie was big into softball, and so was the entire Murdoch family. He knew actually Alec's dad much better than he knew Alec. He's a little bit older than Alec. And so he knew him, Alec, through his dad and through softball, but really had the relationship with his father, Mr. Randolph.
Okay.
And then there's also a very tenuous familial connection, in that his Eddie's mother's maiden name is Murdoch. So I think that's where the whole Cousin Eddie name comes in. Mm-hmm. But we're talking like eighth or ninth cousins numerous times removed.
Sure.
So that's kind of how I think the name really, came to begin with. But he had known him for some time playing softball, then went for quite some time without ever seeing him. Eddie was in the military. He was a business owner. He owned his own business. He did a lot of work in logging and real physical labor. And then in, I think it was like 2012, he got into a work-related accident that had a third-party component to it. Mm-hmm. So he had workers' comp claims, which Alec did not handle, but then Alec handled the third-party complaint claim. And so he became a client of Alec's in or around 2012. Mm-hmm. So that's when they reconnected.
They reconnected in 2012 over a case. Can you speak to the client relationship there that was going on? Was it strictly professional? Was it 100% about the case, or did they develop a friendship? What can you speak to there?
Right. Well, at that point, sometime early on in the relationship, when Eddie was signing some paperwork for his claim, is when Alec first asked him for some of his medication.
Was it asking for to share some of the medication that Eddie had been getting from the claim? Or was he asking, correct, like, do you know someone who can get me this, or do you have sources?
No, okay. No, it started off just asking him, for a couple pills here and there.
So Alec and Eddie had that interaction there. Assuming at that point,
Alec had that interaction with a lot of people.
Sure.
And that's something that doesn't go on, is that he was borrowing or getting medicine from a lot of people.
Did he ask Eddie if he could pay for the medicine, or was it, hey, can you spare me a couple pills?
No. Yeah. Just give me a couple.
How interesting. So it starts out with just, hey, he sees people who are likely going to have what he needs. or once at that time. And Eddie was, you know, a prime person, knowing he's getting workman's comp and he's injured. He's probably going to have some pain pills. How do things progress from there?
So then it got to a point where Eddie was getting, you know, as, and this is the other thing. I don't know how much you know about addiction, but certainly you can develop a tolerance to a lot of the medications that you take and then go on for, you know, years. And it's just like taking baby aspirin. So Eddie was getting a lot of treatment during this time, and he was getting spine stimulators in his back and, you know, different kinds of treatments, which took away the necessity for him to require all that, you know, just oxy medication. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when he wasn't having it anymore, you know, then at that point I like asked him, well, did he know where he could get some for him? Did Eddie know where he could get some for Alec?
Sure.
And so, of course, I mean, he had already been doing that, and then he said, you know, I'll pay you $100 or I'll give you a little bit of money, or, you know, I'll give you some of the pills, or, you know, if you need them, you know, and so that's how that relationship developed. But it really frustrates me when people call Eddie a drug dealer, because, you know, he's the worst drug dealer in the world because he had one client.
Sure. I mean, we've heard a lot of things of Eddie being connected to some sort of cowboy drug ring or something of that nature.
He knows nothing about that.
Okay.
No, he's not. And he's not a gang member. He's never been a gang member. Mm-hmm. He'd never even heard of the Cowboys. So.
Sure. So
that's incredibly frustrating for him.
I would understand it would be. I guess it leaves more questions, though, to who else Alec might have been dealing with as well. And Eddie just seems to get lumped in there. Is that kind of your take on it?
I think that he really got lumped in there because of the roadside. I mean, they know who the attorney generals know who other people were. In fact, there's one gentleman who's been giving Alec medication way longer than my client. But I think it's because my client's involvement in the what we'll call the roadside shooting incident is how, you know, he ended up where he is now.
So did the relationship prior to the roadside shooting incident, was the relationship there? Were him and Eddie, you know, kind of buddies? Would you tell me what was going on there and how that developed?
Well, so, you know, in addition to, and he wasn't getting him drugs, you know, pills every week. Mm-hmm. You know, but Alec would, he made him feel important and had him like go cash checks for him, or he would give him, you know, jobs. Eddie is really good with machinery and backhoes and clearing land and moving trees and doing all these things. So he would, you know, pay him for side jobs like that. He'd asked him to go get his, you know, to go cash checks for him, which a ton of people also did. Mm-hmm. Alec had asked him to get his PI license, but Eddie had no interest in that. You know, and I mean, and sure, he has the benefit of going around town, you know, knowing that one of the most important people in town knows who you are, will say hello to you, you know, and treat you with respect. And that goes a long way.
Sure. It would give him, you know, a little one up if he needed it. I would sure if he was getting into some sort of trouble, Alec and his family seems to be able to make things go away.
Right. And he would get an occasional speeding ticket, or his friends would, you know, need just stuff that would take two phone calls, you know, and it would get done. And so, you know, it really became, you know, just kind of this mutual relationship where Eddie didn't realize that he was not getting the, you know, he was getting a small portion of the deal, and Alec was getting, you know, a lot, not to mention that later on he would, you know, try to set him up for a lot of things.
Sure. Was there any other times where, or more significant than a speeding ticket, where Alec's influence or power helped Eddie out of a bind?
No, because he's not. No, because he's not. He's not a criminally prone. He's not somebody with a long criminal background. You know, he's not somebody that really got into trouble that much. You know, but it's still nice to be able to know that that person, you know, is there if you ever needed it.
Sure, sure. What kind of checks was Eddie cashing for Alec?
I mean, just, you know, checks that he would write out to Curtis Edward Smith or C.E. Smith. And Eddie would just take them to the bank and cash them, bring back the money. And, you know, Alec would give him $100 out of it or something like that. You know, those were the checks that he was cashing.
So, I mean, was it like a money laundering type thing that was going on there where it was going into someone else's name, Eddie's specifically, and then Alec ends up getting the money and then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And Eddie even asked Alec, you know, is this what, you know, this doesn't feel right. And Alec, like, no, it's all, I do this with a lot of people, which he did. You know, and you know, and so Eddie, even though, you know, he had that spidey sense that it wasn't right, you know, he straight up asked him, and he's the lawyer, and he relied upon his response, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking to the one of the head lawyers in the area and you're
right,
that would be the person you'd ask that question to, like, is this, am I doing something illegal?
Right. And he relied upon that.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
There's more to come in our conversation with Amy. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that here on the feed. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter @TonyBPod. Stay with us.